Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's First Love Day, Tone. Who was your first love?
I'm Tony Kornheiser, my high school classmate, Eleanor Roosevelt.
Whoa!
Class of 02.
Yeah,
and 02, I mean 1902.
The odds.
Do you remember the first girl you were in love with? Because I do. I remember the first girl I was in love with.
Yeah, I can't say a name.
You can't?
No.
Why?
She watches the show.
So what?
Husband doesn't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know? Wasn't that nice of me?
I was in love with a girl who had the oddest first name, Jadi. J-A-D-I-S. Jadi Weisberg. This is 100 years ago. I have no idea where she is.
Not 100 years ago. Well, it's Eleanor Roosevelt.
Well, that was 100 years ago. This was almost 70 years ago. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. And we'd like to welcome back to the studio an old friend of the program, Michael Wilbon. And we begin today with NFL officiating, which many critics think is dreadful. And those critics include a couple of former referees turned talking heads, a coach, Tony Dungy, turned talking head, and the one and only Troy Aikman, who told the SI Media podcast, and I quote, "It's become really hard to call a game. I'm sure it's maddening to watch a game with all the penalties. It's rare that a play happens when there isn't some kind of penalty that's thrown. It's nauseating from my perspective.
Wow.
The volume of penalties, it just ruins the flow of a game," unquote. Wilbon, does the NFL have an officiating problem?
My first response, instinct, is to say no. But I will say that I am influenced by...
By Troy.
By Troy Aikman, who is also a talking head. You didn't mention that.
Yeah.
And Tony Dungy, because neither one of these guys is given to wild, dramatic drawing of conclusions. They're just not. They are measured people who take into account context and the history of the game. And I'm looking at the games every week going, it was bad then sometimes. It's bad. I think the officiating is actually really good. There's some moments. Look, the New Orleans thing, Tony,
they get
which has dominated the conversation.
All the time.
They get hosed every
all
week.
All the time.
If there's a game the Saints are in, they're
all
getting
the
hosed.
They are.
But
they
if
are.
We accept the Saints, I mean, does it seem all that different to you?
I think two things. I think, first of all, with the speed and availability of technology, that it behooves us in all sports to get the calls right.
You have to have it.
You have to get the calls right. So you have to sit and wait for a while. You have to get the calls right. And I think something else. This is the second week of the season, that's all. And everybody's looking for a trend story. There are two trend stories right now.
Quarterbacks going down.
Right. And the officiating stinks. Right. And these are easy. This is an old chestnut. You can do this
every
single year. You can say the Zebras are getting it wrong. You can go to baseball. Blue is getting it wrong. By the sixth week of the season, there will be other trend stories.
There's all this hand-wringing about, well, why are these mistakes still happening? Because they're human beings.
And they're trying to get it right.
And the damn mistakes have always happened, and they're always going to happen.
Yeah.
You're not going to have any sport over any length of time that matters where there are not mistakes.
But you're 100% right about the Saints in this regard. That non-call last year put the wrong team in the Super Bowl as of that game.
It did.
So they've redoubled their efforts to try and get it right. I'm telling you, and you know this, by week six, this will just be another story because the officiating is the officiating.
I don't think the quarterbacks are a big story. The three guys we're talking about in question, a benching and two injuries, are 37 years old and 40 for one of them.
By then, it won't be a big story because there'll be other quarterbacks.
Why do we have to reach for these NFL trend stories? The NFL is not interesting enough, the games that are played.
Okay, we didn't do it. Troy Aikman did it, who we both like.
And Maskey did it, who we love.
We love Maskey in the Washington Post.
All right. Sorry, guys. Rachel Nichols had a wide-ranging conversation with Steph Curry yesterday, the most interesting part of which dealt with whether USA Basketball can recover from this World Cup loss. Specifically, Rachel asked Curry whether he plans to play in the upcoming Summer Olympics, and Curry said, yes, he does. Curry added he feels good about the U.S. bouncing back, quote, if we get the guys that are supposed to be there, close quote. Tony, I presume you think Curry's one of those guys.
Yes, I do.
So how big a deal is it for him to play?
He's the best shooter of all time.
Yeah.
He's a great player. There were no great players on this World Cup team. He automatically, even if he's the only one, because
right.
Unlike you, I don't think those guys are the spine of the next Olympic team by
I
any
do.
Means. Even if he's the
so
only
Jerry
one.
Jerry Colangelo, who said, by the way, I'm taking note of the people who said they were going to be there and ain't there. In other words, don't come to the door. So who do you think's going to come in? bunch of college players?
Here's what I would say to Jerry Colangelo. It's time you shut up for a while. Because this team finished seventh, which the last time I looked stinks.
Yep. I agree with that, but I'm not going to. Look, Steph Curry will make this team by himself considerably better.
Absolutely.
And again, I had three guys. I had Bradley Beal, Steph Curry, and Anthony Davis. Although I think Anthony Davis is one of those guys Colangelo might be referring to.
He'll be on the team. He'll be on the team.
I guess if he wants.
He'll be on the team.
The other thing, Tony, is...
We finished seventh.
Yeah.
We want to win in the Olympics. We've always wanted to win in the Olympics.
And you're saying that you can't add three other people. You can't add Beal, Curry, and one other big and still win. I think you can.
Yes, but I think that Harden's going to want to play, and I think that Westbrook's going to want to play, and I think that a lot of people are going to want to play. And I want to get to your boy Greg Popovich for a second.
Okay.
Because Greg Popovich ripped all the people who were critical of the performance of the team that he picked.
Right.
And he used the word arrogant.
Well, he said, didn't pick it. He didn't pick the team.
He said those people and their criticism were arrogant. And I said, really? Really? They're arrogant? Greg Popovich's public utterances have been tremendously arrogant for a long period of time. Worse, I think, than Bill Belichick and even Nick Saban. Because people like you and I, who made our living as sports writers, and now we're talking heads, he would be demeaning to them on camera. He would be dismissive of them on camera. He would bully them on camera, and then he would laugh about it. And I got a real problem with the way he behaved towards people like you and I.
I don't care about that.
I know.
I have much, much, much and you love lengthier him. Interactions with Greg Popovich than you do.
As you always say to me, why not have a bottle of wine with him? Well, nobody ever asked me.
Well, he asked me, so I did.
You
should have been there.
Yeah.
But I only care about his execution of team. He didn't select the team. The team is selected for him. You know this.
He's a great.
Because you know your dear friend, Larry Brown. Yeah. You weren't critical because he didn't select. Well, he might have had more than
two
of that team.
Greg Popovich is a great coach, but he treats people like you and I
like
dirt.
Steph Curry, who is a Pied Piper, do you think Steph Curry's mere presence and mere statement of this to Rachel will get this percolating?
Now? This tells all the great players, let's go. Let's win.
Okay.
We turn now to baseball, specifically the NL Central, where three teams are jumbled near the top. The Cubs and Brewers are now tied just 2.5 games behind the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cubs still have 7 games left with the Cardinals. The Brewers, who are now amazingly 7-1 without Christian Yelich, have no games left against any teams with a winning record.
None.
Wilbon, do you think the Brewers will end up in the playoffs?
Yes. They got homecoming opponents every game, but from down to the end, yes.
So who's out?
I think the Brewers will be out. I think the Cubs will be out because the Cubs have tough games. You mentioned playing the Cardinals 7 times in a row. I told you 3 years ago when the Cubs played the Cardinals in 2015 playoffs, we will take them out. And I don't ever say that about the Cardinals because I know how great the Cardinals are. And I'm telling you now that the bad news here is not even for the team that, well, it is for the team that's out, but it's for the Los Angeles Dodgers, who the Cardinals will not be scared of. Everybody else will be sort of scared of them. But the Nationals have the toughest schedule. And you look at their schedule, they go, wow. If the Cubs can, I look at the Cubs' injuries, they don't respond to injury like the Yankees do. They still need to get an all-star first baseman, Mr. Rizzo, back, and he's going to be out at least a week. The Cubs have some issues. The bullpen is still tough, to say I'm being kind. So I worry that it's going to be.
Didn't you once say the Cubs would finish 8 games behind the Cardinals?
Behind the Cardinals. They're only 2 games behind the Cardinals. So three. 3 games
I just
the
watched the team that I like, the Nationals, throw their 3 best pitchers.
2.5 after the Cardinals. Today.
3 best pitchers. And all pitchers pitch pretty well, and they lost 2 games.
Yeah.
They lost 2. So what I want is for either the Cubs to beat the Cardinals 7 times.
They're not going
to
do that.
Or the Cardinals to beat the Cubs 7 times. Because I do think the Brewers are going to get in.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid, you want to talk about bad bullpens. I'm afraid of the Nats bullpen. And I'm afraid the Nats are sinking. And that all 3 teams will come from the NL Central. That's what I'm afraid of.
I would love that. That would just knock I-95
out. Do you think that this hurts Christian Yelich for MVP if the Brewers get in without him?
Marginally, I just think being out hurts him more than anything else. Because if he was in there, I don't know if they'd be 7-1.
But you're saying now that it will be the Nats and the Brewers.
I'm saying the Brewers, I think, are going to be in by virtue of beating up on his homecoming schedule.
Right.
The Cubs have 7 with the Cardinals. We got to go 5-2.
That's what you need.
We need 5-2. Can we? We can. I just don't think that's going
to
happen.
You understand
this year.
That's lost today to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
They are now, I believe, right at this moment, only 1 game or maybe even a half game ahead of both the Brewers and the Cubs.
Our best shot Now that the Nats have lost two of these games, is to catch the Nats, not the Cardinals, which is what I thought. That's with action still to go tonight.
That's right.
And the Cubs freak
but
out.
It could be a half.
The Reds have to.
It could be a half tonight.
It could be a half. Yes. It could be. So who's going to make it?
I just said I think that the three teams.
All three, you really mean
it. Yeah, but I want the Nats to make it.
Of course you do.
I do.
And by the way, if the Nats make it, I'm not going to be angry at seeing the Nats.
They have three really good starters. No. All three have 220 strikeouts.
Only one team can beat the Dodgers in the National League.
Cardinals. Well, you don't like the Braves are good. You're wrong. Braves are good.
They're not beating the Dodgers. All right, Tony. This story, as you can tell, is stressing me out. So let's go to something I care a lot less about, but it's a big deal for you, I-95 people. Luis Severino came back and threw four spotless for the Yanks last night in his first appearance as October of last season. But the health news is never all that good for the Yanks these days. Reliever Dellin Betances partially tore his Achilles in a completely freakish circumstance, hopping off the mound over the weekend. Tone, is this a net gain or a net loss for the Yanks?
I mean, I think when you get to the playoffs, I think that starting pitching is a really big deal. I think if Severino is a good starting pitcher, that helps them more than their bullpen, which is already okay. I understand that Severino has been terrible in the postseason. In six postseason starts, he's got an ERA of 6.26. But David Price was terrible until he wasn't
last
terrible.
Year. Yeah.
The Betances thing, and you used the right word, that is so freakish.
So weird.
Here is his entire season. Two batters, two strikeouts, see you later, drive home safely. Yeah.
But you know what? Tony, it seems all Achilles tendon tears, and this is a partial tear. I didn't really have a partial tear. They're all freakish because there's never any contact. I can still see Dan Marino limping off the field after and they all say the same thing, by the way. Everybody who has one of these goes, well, I turned around because I thought somebody kicked me and there was nobody there. There's never any contact. They're all freakish. But going back to the Yankees specifically, I might disagree with you first of all, the Yankees have done such an incredible job overcoming just this crazy slew of injuries. I mean, when is Giancarlo Stanton? He's back now.
Yeah,
he's played like 20 games.
If the Yankees, the Astros are really, really great.
Yeah.
If the Yankees are going to beat anybody, they're going to beat them by overpowering them. They're going to beat them with home runs.
They're not beating them with home
runs. That's their ticket isn't so much pitching as it is.
You know what's going to
happen?
Nine games, I'm told, for Stanton.
Torres, Judge.
The Yankees,
Stanton.
Nor the Dodgers. And this is going to hurt you. Because all you just live for big star, big city teams, at least if you're from
one of them. I thought you said I live for I-95. The Dodgers
I-95.
Are not I-95.
The Yankees are,
yeah, but I talked
and
about the
Nationals are. The Yankees are not making it to the World Series, and neither are the Dodgers.
I think
that's
the Dodgers,
what I got.
I would like
you want to go on record now?
I would like the Dodgers to win it because they've been.
I wouldn't mind them winning it. I'm okay with them winning. I'm just.
There were two lovely moments in baseball last night involving multiple generations. Kevin Biggio, the son of Craig Biggio, hit for the cycle for Toronto, as his dad once did for Houston. And Mike Yastrzemski, the 29-year-old rookie for the San Francisco Giants, hit a homer in Fenway Park, just like his grandfather Carl used to do. Wilbon, which moment was sweeter?
I don't know. I'm not going to. I could care less, like, to try to rank them. I don't care. I know you will.
Well, that's the game.
And I know which way you know.
The
it's a game you made up, so you can talk about Yaz in Boston. When you hit for the cycle, which is
it's hard
to do.
Well, game is harder, but it's hard.
Perfect game. Or back-to-back no-nos.
Yeah, we're
hard. Any of that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to hit for the cycle and only one other father-son. By the way, my initial reaction
I didn't know who they were.
It had to be the Griffey.
That's exactly
and
what
And then
I
it
said.
Included, it wasn't. It's, it included a guy who played like 11 years in the majors, a couple for the Cubs, and I don't remember.
Gary and Darryl Ward, who I was unfamiliar with.
Yeah. Well, you know Gary Ward.
But I didn't know Darryl Ward.
Okay.
I
mean, tell us which one, Tony. Which one, Tony, do you think is more impressive?
Well, here's probably something that you don't know, and we'll go I-95 all over your head on this. Both these families, the Biggios and the Yastrzemskis, are from Long Island.
Are they? Okay.
Biggio's from Kings Park.
Either one near you.
No, they're in Suffolk. They're not me. And Yaz is from Bridgehampton, as everybody knows. I think what the Biggio situation, it's hard to get the cycle, but you can get it in any park. This kid, Yastrzemski, is a 29-year-old rookie. How often do the Giants go to Fenway?
Once every six, 8 years?
So he's probably not going to get another chance. And did you see him at the cage With Yaz.
Be so,
it was wonderful.
How great is that going to be?
Just, you could not write that better. So I would say that one, yes.
Can you write the Biggio one better? No. That's why I said I wouldn't try to decide. Can't write that one better?
Lovely. Let's take a break. Coming up, how does Eli Manning really feel about being replaced by Daniel Jones?
And does Brian Kelly, your boy, need to be Georgia Saturday? We're going to ask a cutout cardboard version.
I don't think he needs. I mean, Georgia. Beating Georgia at Georgia. Did he need to do that?
Pardon the interruption is brought to you by Rambo Last Blood. The legend comes home in theaters Friday.
That music puts me in the mood for a little role play. Let's get started, Mike. Why don't you give and I will receive.
All right.
Tell me who I am.
You are the Giants' backup quarterback, Eli Manning. How do you feel about getting dumped, replaced by Daniel Jones?
I'm going to be extremely supportive of Daniel Jones. I'm going to show him all the things I've learned, like how to sit back in the pocket until four or five guys hit me right in the mouth. 47 times I got sacked last year because my offensive line stinks. I'm going to teach him how to do the naked bootleg so he can get hit and hurt and I can come
back. How are you going to help him, Eli? Yeah. So how are you going to help him?
I was watching broadcast news the other night and I thought of Daniel Jones and I thought of that great line, well, I certainly hope he'll die soon. Something like that. Listen, old Eli's going to be okay. I can go to New Orleans, my hometown, because Teddy Bridgewater stinks.
No, you can't.
I can go literally across the hallway to the Jets because nobody's ever heard of Luke.
Why would you do that?
They'll get me to get, and you know what? If worse comes to worse, John Elway will hire me.
No, he's not. Sadly, it seems to be done. Who am I?
Mike, your Notre Dame coach, Brian Kelly. Is it important for you to beat Georgia on Saturday?
Is it important for me to beat Georgia? No, why would it be important? I mean, there's sycophants like you who sit on TV sets everywhere in America and say, well, Notre Dame could lose two and still get in.
Not two.
So I haven't lost any.
One, not two.
So why does it matter? I will tell you this, Tony. We're 29-19 against the SEC all time.
That's
great. That's pretty good, isn't
it? That's great.
Huh?
That because if you beat Georgia, you go to the playoffs. You don't do well in the playoffs, but you go to the playoffs.
We don't have to beat Georgia. Why am I going to get worried about that? Because there's so many people. One loss makes us automatic, right? If we lose only one game, tell me that you would vote us out of the playoffs.
I would vote you out of the playoffs. Last year, you were undefeated going in. Am I correct on that?
I
think if you're undefeated, you're
in. Tony, I pay attention to what you say.
Thank you.
You said if we lost, we'd
Brian,
still get in.
Very, very well since anger management. Very well. Who am I?
You are Bears kicker Eddie Pinheiro.
Yep.
After all the doubts about you and the kicking game in Chicago, how'd it feel kicking that 53-yard game winner?
I'm a legend in Chicago now. They're never going to turn on me. Hey, Robbie Gould, pound sand, baby. I'm here now. Chicago is looking for a star. I'm a star. And people, you can't jump on a bandwagon now. You had to be on it. It is the Eddie-mobile. We're going all the way to the Super Bowl. You know I have a video coming out about myself, about my kicking leg, which is called the Super Bowl muscle. I know that'll take you back a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if only the quarterback on this squad could throw it downfield with some consistency, or if only the great defense that everybody talks about didn't let an ancient statue like Joe Flacco go the distance and get into the end zone, I'm the greatest, even though they may be kicking in training camp, which was stupid. I'm
he would
the best.
Throw you over for Robbie Gould right now.
Pound sand, Robbie.
Right now.
Role play over. Was it good for you? Let's take one last break, but still to come. Deion Sanders said the Jaguars should sit Jalen Ramsey tomorrow night to protect him for a trade. Is that a good idea?
No. And is it a big deal that Joel Embiid says he's slimmed down?
Oh, yeah. Was he heavy? Happy time, people. Happy 21st birthday, Christian Pulisic. Pulisic is the wonder boy of U.S. soccer
Underkin,
who was strafed by Alexi Lalas last year. Pulisic is playing in England for Chelsea. To get him there, Chelsea paid $73 million, by far the most any team has paid for an American player. Wilbon, you ever heard of this guy?
Heard of him. I just watched him play in person at Chelsea in what amounted to a 2-2 loss to Sheffield. They were up 2-0. But he hasn't played. He's been benched the last couple of games. Easy to root for. Easy kid to root for.
Happy anniversary, Cam Newton. On this day 8 years ago, Newton set an NFL rookie record by throwing for 400 yards in his first two games. At that point and later, when Newton was named MVP in 2015, it appeared the sky was the limit. But that ceiling has lowered considerably.
Today was the sixth straight practice he has missed, and his availability for Sunday remains in doubt.
This has taken a real serious and ominous turn, hasn't it?
It has indeed.
You can't just treat this like, oh, he'll be fine, because we don't know that.
Happy trails to Sean Jackson. The once again Eagles receiver will miss 2 weeks with an abdominal strain. In his first game back with one of his old teams 2 weeks ago, DeSean Jackson had two touchdowns of over 50 yards against another of his old teams, the Washington Redskins. Like so many others, on one of those touchdowns, Jackson ran away from Josh Norman.
Assuming he misses this week, he will have missed more games to Deshaun Watson in the last 2 years than Larry Fitzgerald, by way of comparison, same position, has missed his entire 16-season career.
Still fast. No errors today. Let's go with a big finish.
The
Jets signed David Fales to be their backup quarterback. Does that make sense?
He's played in Gase's system, and everything's about my system, right?
Okay.
Deion Sanders says the Jags should sit Jalen Ramsey Thursday. Make sure he doesn't mess things up by getting injured. A trade request. You agree?
No, I think you try to win. I think you try to make the playoffs. No. Joel Embiid says he's lost 25 pounds in the offseason. Is that significant?
I don't know. What's significant is whether he and Ben Simmons become Shaq and Penny.
Not Shaq and Kobe.
Shaq and Penny.
Okay.
Louisville and Rick Pitino settled their lawsuits. Both will agree to say he resigned. Cares?
He has his pride back, and I think he can use that perhaps to get another job. Say, look, I was not fired. You know, hire me. Last one, the Astros go for their 100th win for the third straight year tonight. That is impressive.
Yeah, you know I think the Astros. Only five teams have ever done that, by the way. I think the Astros.
I think they're the best. We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knucklehead. You can get the PTI podcast on the Apple Podcast. Can I shout out to the one and only Jim Nance?
Sure.
Thank you.
Pebble. He made a hole in one.